Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Looking forward to that. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in on the Predators. Bob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. The Predators, check me if I'm wrong, are they 4-3-1 in their last 8 games?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, so, you know, they're not setting the world on fire, but they're also not, you know, just completely collapsing. I think the cause of concern, is, as far as I look at it, is the defense has left the goalies out hanging out to dry. I mean, they just, you know, maybe Saros and Riddick could have had a couple back, couple soft goals, but, I mean, they're just, the defense is really, I think, falling down on the job, and that includes the forwards as well as the defensemen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, I agree. We talked about that earlier. There have been a lot of breakdowns as of late, and John Hines talked about that. I mean, obviously, in the second period last night, there were some breakdowns, and there was some puck watching going on. There was some just losing guys and coverage going on, and some of it was just bad breaks. I mean, you had Josi with a great chance on the odd man rush, and, you know, Bennington makes a great save, and all of a sudden, Blues have numbers coming back the other way. So some of it's you're taking chances offensively, and when they don't cash in for you, that leaves yourself in a vulnerable spot going the other way. But, Joe, I don't think there's any question. Like, in terms of their overall game, it's got to be better on a more consistent basis, especially when it comes to taking care of the puck and defending on the rush, things like that. Like, they've been exposed at times as of late.
Yeah, no doubt. And, look, when you have an opponent like St. Louis, it just, I mean, that second period, like, it was, you know, how many tape-to-tape passes did we see? But we also saw people getting behind, you know, defensemen, and you saw, I don't know if it was quite breakaways, but quite a few, you know, odd man rushes or just, you know, situations where you have an advantage, and then you bury it. I mean, it was just like every time. And, you know, Riddick comes in, it's immediately, here's one for you, up, here's one for you. I mean, it was – but I also, like, that's going to be an all-timer. It is an all-timer. That's, to me, kind of a period that you flush a little bit. Not that there haven't been issues like that too often, but that was just wild.
It was extreme.
Yeah. It was extreme. Like, again, if you ask me what, okay, you can fix one thing about this team, like get it at the very best it can be. You know, you can go Saros. I mean, maybe that is the answer. But I still look at some point, a goalie, there's only so much goalie can do. Yesterday was just going to be a bad day for whoever was in net for the Preds, because they were hung out to dry. You can go like these mistakes, like Bob's talking about. I'd still say, you know, 5-on-5, generating offense and having balance in your lineup and all that stuff. And your big guy scoring. I mean, Philip Forsberg, they aren't going to get to the playoffs, I don't believe, if Philip Forsberg doesn't score some goals between now and the end of the season. And he's still getting chances, but what'd you say it was? 8 games now?
Eight games.
Yeah. I mean, this team just isn't built to be able to absorb that. I understand they played pretty well when he was hurt way, way, way back, but that was also a totally different time for this team.
Matt on the text line says, I would say only getting past the second round once in a quarter century is flatlining, Joe. Love you guys. It's coming from Matt on the text line.
Yeah, look, I understand that. I mean, it just, I guess, you know, we can go back and do the whole history of the franchise, which, Robbie, you know a lot better than I do. But my perception of the Nashville Predators has been that David Poile has had to do a lot with shoestring and chewing gum for a long period of time and did well to get them where they were. And it has not been 25 years of you can go do whatever you want as a GM.
It has not. I mean, basically until about 2010, there was a very limited budget that he was operating under. Now you know, it's been a long time since 2010. It's 2022. Sure. So they got to get past the second round again at some point here very quickly. And I don't think there's any question about that. Wayne texting in says, yesterday's game is a major red flag. There's no way this team makes the playoffs with the schedule they have left. They could lose all six of their remaining games. I will say, you're still in a decent spot. You got a four-point lead on Vegas right now, and you've drawn even with them in games played. But listen to the next five games for the Predators. And we've talked about this. Calgary tomorrow, the two-time defending cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning on the road on Saturday, Minnesota at home on Sunday, so another back-to-back, Calgary again on Tuesday, and then Colorado next Thursday on the road. Now, at that point, I guess maybe you're hoping that Colorado just doesn't have anything to play for. They've already locked up the West at this point, and, you know, I don't know what they're going to do in that game. And then you got Arizona to close out the season. But the next five games, Calgary, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Calgary, Colorado. Yikes if you're the Predators.
Big yikes. So what that tells me is we have a new biggest game of the year, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like you've got to win that game tomorrow. I mean, of those 10 points, what's reasonable and what would you need to be in and not have to play to be in? Because the finale, of course, is at Arizona. And honestly, I know, like, you do not want the Arizona game to be like this. Like, that's just a dynamic you don't want. Yeah, you'd rather play them than all those other teams, but you don't want to be in some, like, must win to get in against a Coyotes team that actually, hey guys, say, look, you can totally ruin their season. You know, yeah, let's have some fun, you know. What's realistic of those 10 points? So Tampa Bay, I mean, a lot of this is incentive. Is it possible that, like, St. Louis could have the two? I don't think so. I mean, they got a point lead. I think they're clearly they thumped the Wild this weekend. They've passed them, but Wild still have a game in hand on them. So the Wild's still gonna be playing for something coming in here. I think you're right that Colorado, you hope it's kind of like last year with Carolina, right?
Yeah.
When they come in here and you are playing for everything and they're not. So for the most part though, I mean, Tampa Bay, you could say we talked about this last week, right? Like they kind of seem like they're on cruise control. They're not going to, I don't think, get home ice against Toronto. Now they do have the Bruins creeping up on them.
Oh yeah,
you know, and you'd rather not. You would rather not, like, probably play Carolina in the first round, which is what it could be. So they're probably playing for something too. So yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's a tough road.
It's going to be very tough. Well, then you look at Vegas's schedule. They've got the Devils tonight. They've got Washington on Wednesday. Then they've got a three-day break, and they get San Jose, Dallas, Chicago, and St. Louis. So, I mean, there's some games in there. I mean, the Washingtons and the Dallas and the St. Louis's of the world that are tough, but the schedule is way easier for Vegas coming down the stretch. Now, the good news is you got a four-point lead on them, so you got a little bit, and I stress a little bit, of a cushion, but the schedule is easier for Vegas coming down the stretch here. Like, you could very well be heading into that game tomorrow against Calgary with a two-point lead on Vegas.
Right. And remember, too, now the Kings have done better than I thought, you know, but that's a team that also you got to look at their situation because they could still fall out of there.
Yep.
And right now your relation to the Kings is you have a point lead. They have a game in hand. They're 3 points up on Vegas, but I still think that's possible that they could fall apart. And, you know, that would be, you know, like Vegas. So Vegas could take advantage of that schedule and you could still get in because of the Kings falling out. So there's a lot of ways in, but there's also a lot of ways you could screw this up.
When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. We got more of your thoughts to get to on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Well, tonight it did. You know, tonight it certainly did. But, you know, as I go through, I think we probably deserve better with a bigger lead coming out of the first period. We didn't get it. You know, I think Tarasenko's goal comes down. You know, Dutchie had two really good looks. One, he makes a great save on. The second one, he's got a beat and the puck doesn't go in. That's probably three right there, even though they score the power play goal. And then, you know, they had some looks. Like I said, Yost comes down. It's probably a 2-2 game. Very similar look. You know, it doesn't go in for us. It comes back down and goes in our net. It goes in 3-1. And then we had some breakdowns. We just had some miss. You know, we didn't identify certain situations that were in the game. We made some different reads that I think are not a lack of try. They were just, our decision making wasn't good. And they when they had those chances, they buried. They had some pretty good shots that went in the net. And, you know, we certainly have to be better in those areas.
There is the final horn. The final score from Nashville. The Blues defeat the Predators 8-3.
The rough one last night for the Predators. They fall 8-3 at the hands of the St. Louis Blues, setting up a massive game tomorrow against the Calgary Flames. Joe, we talked about this last week. I said, win 3 out of 5 of the homestand. You got to win tomorrow to get 3 out of 5 of the homestand, and then sets up what's not going to get easier with the schedule we read off in the last segment. Tampa on the road, Minnesota next Sunday at home, and then another date with Calgary before you travel to take on the Colorado Avalanche as well, closing out the season with the Arizona Coyotes. So 5 of your final 6 games are against teams that are not only playoff teams, but really, really good playoff teams as well. So that's what the Predators have in front of them at this point. Adam in Portland on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says this Preds team is above all things streaky, and don't let the San Jose game fool you. A 1-0 win over that team is like losing. We can't score right now. Our defense is flat. Saros isn't playing well. We have to do something. Mix up the lines. Start Luff. Bring back Pekka and Mike Fisher. I don't know. Try something and try it fast. This coming from Adam from Portland on the text line.
Also, yeah, also the text line, there's a lot of big picture talk, which is natural from this. You know, Matt, we love you too, Matt, by the way.
Yes.
Another one on the text line, you can't compare this team to Detroit like you just did. They've actually won a cup, made a deep run. I get that. Look, I think you have to look in eras. Look, it is amazing to think about a GM in professional sports having a job this long with one run past the second round in that time. I mean, I think if you look at, if you say it like that, it's like, wow. I would say that I think you have to break it into different eras. And look, everybody was on the map a couple of years ago. You got me?
Oh, yeah.
Mad at Poyle. I'm just going to keep pushing that pun because I got nothing else today for analysis. but look, I mean, he built up a team that was obviously really good. They had an extended stretch, I'd say, from, you know, well, I mean, really that 15 team pushing Chicago all the way, you know, probably for the next four. They had a 4-year stretch, right, where you're talking about a really dangerous team that was good enough to hang with anybody. Yep. And one of those teams got within 2 wins of the cup, and one of them won the President's Trophy and lost in an incredible 7-game series in the second round that shouldn't have happened in the second round. And then, I mean, I thought certainly that it was probably time a couple years ago, and now they've had this renaissance. Look, if we're going to make this, you know, the big picture, Poyle and all that stuff, I think the Forsberg outcome is a huge part of that too. I'm just saying, in terms of comparing to Detroit, I'm just saying you can say middling and you can't stand this or whatever, but there is something to be said for almost never missing the playoffs over a long period of time. And I know it's not super tough to make the playoffs in this league, but again, I use Detroit because it's 6 straight for that storied franchise. They can't even get into the playoffs. I mean, I'm just saying it can be worse.
It can. Now, one thing that Ryan in Nashville brought up earlier that I don't agree with, and I heard a little bit of this over the weekend too, like if they miss the playoffs, is John Hines in trouble of losing his job? I mean, the guy's gotten Matt Duchene to be a 40-goal scorer. Philip Forsberg's played better than he's ever played. Roman Josi's played better than he's ever played. Like, I get it. If this team misses the playoffs based on where they were, it's going to be incredibly disappointing. I don't know that John Hines is the first guy I'm looking at for that. I think they've done a lot of things really well under him.
I agree with you. This is where Hines' relative lack of a track record is going to, I think, is going to make that a quicker call from a lot of people, right? Yeah. I think overall it's been pretty impressive, but look, it is still on him if they blow this.
Sure.
So I think it's fair to criticize about, but like his job being in jeopardy, I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so, but I mean, this is the final year of his contract, so I guess we'll see what happens on that front. Adam in Portland also texting in says Terry Crisp deserved more than the team gave him last night. I bet Crispy was seething last night at one point in that second period.
Well, Crispy, it's interesting because you hear the, especially like from Lindsay Rally, you hear like how intense, or Sheila Crisp, you know, how during games he's so intense and angry and pounded. But when you're, you know, when you're on the microphone,
yeah.
I thought he handled it really well last night. He was just like, whoa, look at this. know, he was just, he had some, he, at one point he's like, yeah, it's like they're on parade. I mean, he was, you know, so he, I thought it was, he was actually really entertaining in the broadcast. Of course, he missed some of the goals because he went down to be honored. Great ceremony, by the way, in speech. And I was glad to see Sheila get on the mic too.
Yeah.
And then he missed the first one in the second period. And then he came back in and it was just like a lot of like, whoa, from Crispy. Now, if he wasn't on the microphone, would it have been a little bit more personal and upset at everything? Probably. But as far as, hey, I mean, look, Crispy, pretty awesome weekend. They split. They did the radio broadcast Saturday on 102.5. They did the TV broadcast on Bally yesterday. Got a split of the weekend. And again, Crispy's an original Blue. So the Blues can give him a nod and say, hey, we love you. This was for you, buddy. Somebody was going to do it for Crispy yesterday, and the Blues ended up doing it for Crispy.
That's right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin, who wants to weigh in. Rob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexford.
Hey, good morning. And, yeah, that was a wonderful honor for Crispy. And when he came back after the second period, you could just tell that he was, you know, biting the inside of his lip. He started to get teary-eyed at the end of the broadcast and then thought better of it because he was so mad over the game. Funny thing about Crispy, I've known him for years, known Sheila for years, is that he wasn't the nice guy that we see on the radio when it came to coaching. Yeah. And approached things wee bit differently. Definitely a redhead and behind the bench and on the ice. And that was interesting. So we limp into the playoffs. We lose in the first round. Oh, yeah, Boyle saves his job. Hines keeps his job. That's great. What does 8 games with a goal mean? A contract.
I think we lost Rob there, but I think he was – there he is. Rob, you there? Yeah,
try again, Rob. Yeah, well, you're saying – we.
Go ahead.
No, try again. We lost you. You said what does 8 games what?
So eight games ago, you know, there was a controversy with Forsberg, right? That he didn't get signed. You can't tell me that's not on his mind. It's definitely on his mind. He hasn't scored. He hasn't done much, right? So get the signature on the piece of paper and the right number, because it's really troublesome that Poile will probably keep his job and shouldn't. He should not keep his job over leaving this in limbo. Nobody leaves it in limbo where you could have got 2 or 3 first-round draft picks for this guy. And it's just it's ridiculous that we've allowed this to go on. And he has, yeah, he's got, what, 50 years under his belt, rounding up ever so slightly, with not a lot to show for it in post-round, you know, in playoff, you know, playoff process and getting through the first or second round. And to me, that is a big, big miss that we haven't addressed that. And pushed a little harder from the fan base on, hey, we've been here now 22 years. We deserve a little bit better than that. And I think that it's weighing on Forsberg's mind and having an impact. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate it. I mean, look, I think Forsberg's still playing really well. Like, the points are still coming. I know he hadn't scored in the last 8 games, but I don't know that I just all of a sudden buy that the contract is a big part of his performance dipping or his goal scoring dipping. I mean, the guy's been playing on the last year of his contract all year long. He scored 38 goals. Like, I don't know why all of a sudden it would just be like, oh, crap, there's a contract discussion going on. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to get paid. It's just a question of where he's going to get paid. But no, I know that people are going to make something of that, and maybe it is. Maybe there is something weighing on him there, but he seems to have handled that pretty well all season long. I don't know why all of a sudden now that would start to be something that just kind of overtakes Forsberg at this point.
No, I mean, look, I don't know, but I like if he was listlessly skating around, you know, and
look, he still looks good out there.
Yeah, he's not finishing. I mean, he's not finishing lately, and it's not for lack of effort or chances. Again, that Florida game, that's a different outcome if he finishes like he's been finishing all year. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that I buy that. As far as the Poile thing and all that, look, if they, like, especially the double whammy, if they don't make the playoffs and then they don't re-sign Poile.
Oh, boy.
Well, then everyone's going to be on the map, mad at, yes, Poile. I swear I'll bury this pun today. Let's just get through one day of this, and I'll never do it again. And they'll be justified, completely justified. Remember, you know, when, like, the fan base, we go back to before last year's turnaround. I mean, Poile was basically most of the talk. Right, was, yep, Poile's status, because some people were like, fire Hines then. It's like, well, wait a second now. This guy just got brought in. So it's not like it's been this whole stretch of everybody like, oh, well, whatever, no big deal. It's just that they've gotten all of a sudden better and they're younger. And there are some encouraging things that have happened here in the organization. They're, I mean, they've got some promising players at lower levels now. But yes, miss the playoffs, don't sign Forsberg. Woo. It will be hot in Nashville.
I don't think there's any question. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into a busy weekend in the world of sports, including a local coach getting tossed and suspended this weekend as well. We'll get Joe Rexroad's thoughts on that. The NBA playoffs are here, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay every single week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win, and FanDuel has so many different ways to play. And best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. I like the Miami Heat. They're going to take down the Atlanta Hawks pretty easily this week. Give me Bam Adebayo over on rebounds. Give me Tyler Hero over on points in the Heat to win as well. So that's got to be something that you take a look at. But regardless of what you do, just make sure you do it on the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Rob. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
And one of them was, and now they're both thrown out. And now Tony Vitello bumps the third base umpire. He was the home plate umpire last night, Jeffrey Macias. And they had some words all night long last night. And Tony Vitello is still not happy. So Frank Anderson's been thrown out. Tony Vitello has been thrown out. And Todd, you can't bump umpires.
No, you can't.
It was an interesting one once again for the Tennessee Vols over the weekend. They dropped the first game against Alabama for their first SEC loss of the season. They go on to basically smoke Alabama in the next couple of games. They won 15-4 yesterday, and they take another series in the SEC. So now 14-1 in the SEC. But they did so yesterday and for basically the entire game on Saturday as well without the services of Tony Vitello. He gets in the face of the umpire at third base, gets tossed from the game, and then after he's tossed from the game, runs up and bumps the third base umpire. So Tony Vitello will now be suspended for 4 games, which is already one of those that's taken place yesterday as well. So 3 more games left for Vitello in his suspension. Joe, what did you make of Tennessee over the weekend winning the series against Alabama and now yet another dramatic situation with this team and Tony Vitello and company. I will say this, it is never dull around this Tennessee Volunteers baseball team.
I mean, seriously. I mean, these guys are, they are pissing someone off or they're pissed off by someone. I got to say, you know, Will Mabry, so Alabama wins Friday.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's two straight losses for the Vols. That's their second and third of the whole season. And Will Mabry is like, you know, we saw him celebrate like they won the World Series. They're going to taste it, you know, or whatever. And I was like, man, first of all, okay, you got to back up those words. Second of all, I gotta say, like, I didn't see every angle of the Alabama celebration. It didn't look like anything more than, like, team that was happy, right? Like, you got to be able to – if you're going to do stuff like Tennessee does, which I see no problem with, I'm all for it. Have fun. Have these sarcastic celebrations. Fur coat. Do whatever you want. I think it's great. But you also have to understand if you lose, like, the other teams are going to revel in it too. So I was like, yeah, don't get worried about the other teams doing it. But you know what? He said they're going to taste it. And they kicked their butt the next two nights.
Yeah, they did.
And then you got Vitello and his bump. I mean, he almost put him on his butt.
He did.
You know? I mean, that was like an aggressive bump. Because usually the bump is kind of like you're right in someone's face, and then you do a little bit of this. He, like, went downhill. And, like, he had a little bit of a running start to get the bump going. And I was like, oh, boy, that's going to cost you. So they are never dull. But ultimately, they're just really good. Again, like Drew Beam yesterday, I mean, I think he's their best pitcher. Ben Joyce, it's still about pitching for them, even though they're crushing the ball too. Now, Chase Dollander got hit with a line drive, and yep. that's concerning. But, the word is it's not, like, devastating. So now, you know, Blade Tidwell can step right in because he's throwing the ball really well. So all in all, big weekend for them. Big weekend for Vanderbilt, too, to get two out of three against Florida. They badly need a series win, and they kept coming back over and over again. Almost got a sweep by comeback. But regardless, that's a big outcome for Vanderbilt, too.
Clutch hit by Enrique Bradfield at a big time in that game, too.
Yeah, in the second game, the bases clearing triple. You can see the emotion. He's a great player. So, they're kind of more on track now to host a regional, which would be, which is, of course, what you expect at Vanderbilt. But I think that's still very much in the air based on some of their struggles.
Yeah, the interesting weekend in college baseball over the weekend for sure. The Grizzlies dropping game one against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, technically, they have lost home court advantage in this series. They fall in game one with Minnesota coming in, and I just thought they played really well in that game. So now you're in a situation, if you're the Grizzlies, better get game two, better win that game.
Yeah. Welcome to the playoffs. You know, it's talking about all these grandiose things, and it can hit you right in the face right from the start. And here is another example, maybe, of a team that had to play to get in and was in, in the playoff or, the play-in rotation that is playing at a high level comes in. I mean, Anthony Edwards, man,
jeez,
can he play? Was that a good pick? Carl Anthony, it's a good team. And I thought Memphis did not play great defense. And that's been a part of their game that we don't talk about a ton, but it's obviously it's a big key to where they are. So, John Morant did his thing, but he did not get a lot of help in game one. And it's going to be a really fascinating game two that they've got to have.
Well, Edwards with 36 on Saturday night and Carl Anthony Towns 29 points. So when you're giving up basically 65 points to those two guys, you're going to be in for a rough night. And then you got Beasley coming in off the bench and giving you 23. Like, you got to defend a little bit better if you're Memphis coming up in game two.
Yeah, because, the Memphis – I mean, this Memphis-Golden State, matchup that we have talked about so much, you got to actually get there. And it's also maybe not great for Memphis that you have to wait another day. Yeah. I'm sure they'd much rather play tonight and get right back at it. Golden State and the Nuggets do play game two after the Warriors just waxed them in game one and looked pretty good.
They look pretty darn good. No question about that. About the Celtics yesterday, buzzer beater, 115 to 114, the final against Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and the Brooklyn Nets.
First of all, Kyrie Irving is absurdly good, you know, and people don't like it. And
he's
get
ungodly it. Annoying, but yes, he is absurdly good.
But I tell you what, I liked his trolling.
I loved his response.
I don't know if I've ever hated a player more than I hate Kyrie Irving. I can't stand that guy.
Really? Oh, come on. Right, I'm going to show you some Michael Jordan video from the 80s.
Oh, Joe.
I liked his little, like, the, you know, the fans, and he's doing the, he's kind of getting back at him. But he was, boy, is he good. A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people are just sitting like, oh, my gosh. And he was going to win that game for them. That, I can't think of a better buzzer beater of, like, surprising just, you know, I mean, it's almost always gets to, maybe there's one pass in the shot. Yeah. And Marcus Smart, I was like, as soon as Marcus Smart passed the ball, and granted, it's like a split second, I was like, what are you doing? You just shot faked. You got two guys in the air. Take the 18-footer to win or lose the game. But he passed it, and Tatum in one motion spins and finishes, like with 0.2 on the clock. Like, that was one of the most incredible end of game sequences I've ever seen from a team. And there's another angle on Twitter of it, of like what it looked like from Marcus Smart's perspective. Is I still think it was a bad idea, but man, it worked out. I mean, he passed the ball with like less than a second to go, and it was one smooth finish. Unbelievable for the Celtics. And now that's, I wasn't sure that series is going to be interesting. I'm kind of intrigued now.
The Celtics are going to win that series. Everybody keeps waiting on the Nets to make this run. They're not good. Like, they're not going to win this series. The Celtics will win. Call your shot Monday.
Did you think that before game one?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't think that. Maybe I'm just – because I'm probably in the crowd of, okay, playoffs. Now we'll see. I still think just Durant Irving alone could win them the series. But you're right that they – like, they're one – I mean, it's a little bit like the Golden State of the East where it's like, when they win this, win that, when it all comes together, they're going to be great. Well, here they are. But maybe it is true of Golden State.
Well, we'll see. Nashville SC, a disappointing draw over the weekend against San Jose. A San Jose team that was the worst team in the league. That's one where you'd like to see you go on the road and win, not only because that was my lock in weekend winners, but you need to come away with 3 points there, and kind of a disappointing draw for Nashville SC over the weekend. The fan base, not happy with that one.
Do you think that it had anything to do with Jared Stillman calling out their concessions prices? Do we know for sure that his complaining about the concessions prices was not a distraction of the team? I don't think we do.
It could have been. I don't think there's any question that could have been the case. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant, Robbie Stanley's Rant of the Day. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road, which I am hijacking today, the Rob Rant taking place. We do this every day at 7:45. Either the Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, or the Red Rant, which I hear we got one of those on Friday as well. So keeping you on your toes here on the program. And Joe, this really came about last night as I'm watching the Preds game unfold. We've talked a lot about the Preds so far here on the show today. Obviously, there have been some heated reactions from the fan base after they lose 8-3 on home ice, and the schedule is daunting coming down the stretch here for the Predators. But there was one part of this discussion last night that I saw taking place on my Twitter feed that just always kind of baffles me. And I think we've had a version of this discussion before, but there was this big talk on Twitter last night. Apparently, I guess after the second period and after the game, a section of the arena, those who were still there, booed the Predators off the ice. So they booed them off the ice, I guess some of them after the second period, and obviously booed when the game was over as well. And there was this big to-do on Twitter last night about whether or not you should boo your team off the ice and whether or not that is acceptable. Let me first start by saying this. If you don't want to boo your team off the ice, fine. You don't have to. I don't hold anything against you not booing your team. You can do whatever you want. But if your stance is that nobody should ever boo your team under any circumstance whatsoever, no matter what the situation is, I think you're nuts. I think you're crazy. There are absolutely times where you should boo your team off the ice. I'm not saying that you've got to be overly hostile with it. I'm not saying you've got to throw rally towels on the ice or anything stupid like that. But there are absolutely times, whether it's in hockey or in football, pick your sport. Teams play bad enough where they deserve to be booed, and they're professional athletes. They can handle being booed. I know Baker Mayfield can't handle stuff like this, and he wants to show up to cubicles and boo everybody, to which my response would be, yeah, you pay me your salary, you can boo in my left ear throughout the entire radio program if you want to. I don't care. But, Joe, this idea that there's like some sacred thing out there where if you're a fan of a team that you're not allowed to boo that team, I think is absolutely absurd. And if you're the Predators, if you're a Predators fan last night, I don't fault you whatsoever for booing the Predators in the second period when they allowed 7 goals on home ice, the most goals they've allowed in the history of their franchise in a single period. If there's ever a time to be booed, that's probably it. So, look, if you don't want to boo your team, that's fine. You do whatever you want to do, but don't chastise other Predators fans for booing their team when the performance was as bad as it was in that second period. That is my rant for the day.
That's a good rant, and it's a rant against, let's see, I guess I would call them the aggressive sunshine blowers, right?
Yes.
So there's sunshine blowers, there's doom and gloomers, and there's everything in between. The aggressive sunshine blowers, I agree, they need to be dealt with, because it is absolutely fine. If you say, you know what, I'm choosing to support my team, I'm going to cheer them on, I show up for every game, I got gear head to toe, and whatever happens, like, that's my team, and that's what I believe. Great. But you should not be belittling those who are angry and who want to boo. And there's limits to that too. Social media, nasty personal stuff or profanity, yeah, throwing stuff, that stuff's not cool. But a nice chorus of boos, yeah. I mean, I think that that's absolutely appropriate and at times needed. I mean, imagine having this conversation in Philadelphia. Like, they boo, like, the first 3 and out of the year gets booed. Like, the Eagles could score touchdowns in their first 4 possessions of a game, and then they get a 3 and out in the 5th possession, and they get booed off the field. So, it's all relative, too. But I'm so with you on this one. If you want to be sunshiny and this pot, fine, do that. Leave the people who are pissed off alone, because they have a right to be. And sometimes maybe you should be too.
Also,
but I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying that they should get after you for not booing. I'm just saying
it's also not that deep. Like, people think it's like this cruel thing. They're, oh my God, you're awful. Like, it's sports, right? When your team loses, you're pissed. You know, I definitely booed the Kentucky basketball team when they lost to the freaking Peacocks. Like, it's really not that deep.
Like, did you actually boo the TV?
Well, I cried first.
I thought you boo-hooed tears.
I boo-hooed teared.
The BBN boo-hoo crew.
Yes. Well, look, and I get it. Like, it's your team. You can do, look, again, you can do whatever you want within reason. But, like, this idea that you're not a real fan, and I saw some of that last night too, like, you're not a real fan if you're booing your team.
Wrong.
What? What does that mean?
Wrong.
I would probably, and again, you can do whatever you want, I would probably argue the other way. Like, if you're so just invested in, like, I will blindly follow this team and do whatever they do, I will never criticize, I will never do anything else, I would argue you're not really a real fan, right? Like, you've got to. This is going to happen. It doesn't matter what team you root for. Pro sports are a cycle, right? They're going to be really good sometimes. Sometimes they're going to be really bad. But if you're just like blindly, I will not criticize or I will not boo my team ever. Again, you can do whatever you want, but don't be calling people, other people that boo, like, not real fans. Because to me, not being upset and not booing, I would argue you're less of a fan. That's my stance on the matter.
I mean, well, look, I think that there is a certain level of holding teams accountable. Now, I think there are limitations. I think some people get carried away with this, and even just from a media perspective, okay?
Hold their feet to the fire!
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, well, if you want to go back, I think at one point, Jared, I don't know when this was, but he was talking about how, like, in Boston, they're so tough on the teams. Look at how good the Boston teams are. Well, okay. How crappy are the New York teams? I mean, it's cyclical.
So I think the job crappy.
But at the same time, I do believe, well, first of all, that absolutely media should do their job and be critical when it's appropriate. But I think there's also a certain level of, like, the fans, if the fans are upset, and I think the biggest way the fans make things happen is with apathy, by not showing up, right? Yeah. Like, that's really when fans make a statement about, I don't know why I just thought of this, but okay. So Rob Parker, friend of mine, who used to be a columnist at Detroit News, Rob is a hot taker. I mean, I love Rob, but my God, is he a hot taker? But sometimes he did some really funny stuff. So when Matt Millen was the GM of the Lions, and they were just horrific, and I think it might have been the year that they went 0-16, but he organized the Millen Man March. Okay,
okay.
Rob Parker organized the Millen Man March for fans to, like, protest the GM so that they would finally fire Matt Millen. Anyway, you got fans booing, you got fans, you know, showing their displeasure in various ways. The most important way is, again, not showing up, not buying the product. But fans do have, like, the fans do have the power to, you know, make things happen in terms of, you know, changes, if changes need to be made. So it's not like there's no impact if you're collectively upset and you do something about it.
I also think, like, in this discussion, I would rather you boo the entire team than just boo one guy, right? Like, it's going to be – we talked about this last week. Like, the first time Tannehill throws an interception this year for the Titans, there are probably going to be some boos raining down from the crowd at Nissan Stadium. Like,
yes.
To me, that's more like, man, y'all are all over our quarterback right now. That if I'm a fan, I might have a little bit more of a problem with that than I do you booing the entire team when they're crap in one period.
Right, because the booing the one player, especially if it's a really important player, I mean, you know, you could, in theory, affect that player's confidence. Now, if that's true, then he's probably not who you want in that position. But still, like, I could see a fan saying, can we give the guy a break here? Like, that's what – like, so the Titans fans – there's going to be Titans fans who are like, guys, you're going to just be all over Tannehill. Do you want him to play well this year or not? Are you just going to hate him all year? Like, and that's – I think that's a fair discussion on one player. Now, when they introduce – and here comes Tannehill to one coming out to get up 4-6! You know, then
I was hoping we'd get back there.
Maybe yeah. And introducing Ryan Tannehill, threw 3 picks last time out. Everybody give him a round of applause. But I agree. Like, booing the team, to your point, this is what this is about. Just booing an entire team. Yeah. They deserve it sometimes. Do it. Let it rip, man. But like you said, if people are letting it rip, I don't think you're less of a fan if you don't do it. I guess I disagree with you there if you don't do it. But if you don't do it and you shame those who are doing it, okay, now you're counterproductive.
Mark from Clarksville texting in says, Robbie, you should praise Aaron Rodgers for everything he does and say that he can do no wrong. LOL. This is coming from Mark on the text line. Maybe that's what I should just start doing, man. Just be like, hey, man, know that you couldn't beat Jimmy Garoppolo at home field when it was snowing in Lambeau, but man, great stuff. Really loved it.
You're mostly, I think, quite forgiving of Aaron.
I guess so. Especially when the other option is Jordan Love.
It's all relative, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would be too if Aaron Rodgers was my quarterback for my team.
Rob from Clarksville texting in says, can we stop with the rain in Tennessee? When did we become Seattle? Also 100% agree with Robbie today. It has been raining a lot lately. I read a study that apparently a couple years ago we get more rain than Seattle does. What do you think?
Really?
That's what I saw.
I would. That's shocking to me. But, yeah. I mean, I guess it's less shocking after this spring.
Keith texting in says, Robbie and Rex Road, the guide to booing. Maybe we need to write this. Maybe there's a pamphlet we can come out with.
We could do that. We could do like an informational session. We could do some video, like how to boo, proper booing technique, you know? Yeah.
Use both hands. Yep.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they're kind of limping around as of late. Also, some news on the A.J. Brown front as well. We'll get into that coming up next. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.